Like we always say, we appreciate being here tonight. And I know we've heard men say this, but it seemed like about as scared as the first time they ever stood, I reckon. And just want to try to do that the Lord has us to do, and we've thought about a lot this past week about what God's done for us. And I think back on a song that Sister Eldis wrote, that about that orphan boy telling him, said, if I told you all it'd take me a whole year just to start with, but we can't do nothing on our own, and we realize that we do got a desire to do it and find ourselves. I hope I judge myself harder than anybody else judges me. I'll just say it that way. And I've said it before, I'm my biggest critic when it comes to it. And y'all done already know what I said last time, where I could let words come out of my mouth, but thoughts still be in my head. But we got a little bit of something. And I want to start out saying this. I've always said this, and I want to say it again. When I use the word we, I'm talking to me also. Because I don't never want to feel like I'm just trying to be up here, Brother Stephen, point fingers or be scoffful about matters. Because I do realize just how delicate this part is. Well, all parts are, and that one part ain't just above the other, but and sometimes we hear somebody and we take a thought off of their thoughts. I used to, growing up, by doing this, I wouldn't have it that way, because it'd make you feel like you're preaching another man's message. But I do remember one time Randy speaking about Brother Walden telling him whenever he was younger in it, because we do have thoughts during the day, and the Lord blesses you with thoughts, and then you tell yourself, or I have, when I get home, and then by the time you get home, you forgot about, and you can't dig it up no matter how hard you try. Growing up, you know, you hear, don't write nothing down, you don't write nothing down. He said, Brother Walden told me, if you ever get a thought, you write it down, because you're sure the world forget it. And he said, he proceeded to tell him, he said, then if you figure out you don't want that thought, bring it to me. He said, I might be able to use it. But I'd heard somebody else speak a little bit on this, and there's some things that just goes and just grabs a hold of you. But we're going to read in St. Luke 16th chapter. And I guess sometimes it's probably some of the most read or maybe spoke up on happening. Because a lot of people calls it a parable, but the Bible does not call it that. But I'll say this, even if it does say parable, that don't mean it didn't happen. Because a parable is and could be an event that happened, but being illustrated in such a manner. We're going to start our reading on the 19th verse. It says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fare sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And as we was reading over this, after we had heard something that we had heard, I thought about how we could learn a lesson as the church from the people that's in hell. You know, they've got something other that they're doing that we should be able to do better than what they do. And that's using their concern. The rich man, when he died, the first thing that he said was, let him cool my tongue. And after Father Abraham talked to him and told him, said, it ain't going to happen. There's a great gulf fixed between here and there. He changed his concern from himself to his lost brethren. And if we could just have the concern that they have in hell for the lost people, you see, their concern don't have no opportunity to it. Our concern, Brother Steve, has opportunity. And really, until we get to the place, it's hard to expect them to get to the place of concern. His whole life up here, he's just focused on himself. And in his concern for himself is what got him in the shape and the condition that he has to spend a lifetime down. Now, I don't know how anybody else feels, but I still believe he's still praying for his five brethren, because he don't know no better, nothing beyond that. And I'm honest on this part. I believe if we've got somebody that has died in a lost condition, that they are praying for somebody that's lost here today that they know. To no avail. You see, there's conditions that they've got there that we really need here. He begins by crying out. We don't cry like what we used to. We talk about it. We talk about our elders. We talk about how they used to do. But we still get so caught up in ourselves. I ain't saying we don't love them. I ain't saying that there's not some sort of a concern. But the amount of concern that we really have for them, I'm persuaded to believe, just ain't there. And one thing that happened whenever he went to hell, and what we need to take from it, is there's a separation. He is separated from God's people that's there. And what we need to take a hold of is we need to be separated of God's people here from the world. Amen. But we've got so much mixing and mingling going on, so much acceptance going on, that it's hard to keep that concern going on as much. And I'm going to use this as an example of a conversation that I had with a lady about 2 months ago. She said, "I'm getting married Saturday." I said, "Well, that's good." She said, "Yeah, it's only took him 10 years. They've been living together for 10 years. She said, "I told him I better get married for this 10th year's up." She said, furthermore, said, "We'd been going to church the past few years and stuff, and we really want to set a good example for his son that lives with us and his girlfriend that lives with us. So maybe they'll do the right thing." You see, that's where we are. There's no conviction on our living styles. We're almost to a point where we almost accept anything and anyhow that comes through the doors. People will say, "But though we sing 'Just as I am,' we do. He takes us just as we are. But when we leave, we don't supposed to be the same 'just as I am' that I come in the door as." And I've said this, and I've even had to accept it myself that sometimes I'm talking to me. God has requirements for our blessings that He gives us. We have lowered the standard of accepting what blessings that we feel like that we have. But if we'd ever get back to where we need to be, it'd be a difference. The man was in hell and he prayed in hell. We was without a pastor for a while. Some of them said, "We need to pray. We need to go back out here just like what we used to did. Go in the woods, go out here. We all need to get together. We need to pray it. We need to pray." And you know what? We did. We met out there. We prayed together. The Lord provided. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We've got 5 people that shows up in the prayer rooms. You say, "You're getting on me?" No. I mean, if you can get by with it, that's fine. But we need to take some things that hell's actually doing just a little bit better than what we're doing. You see, he's separated, he's cried, he's prayed, and he's even prayed that send somebody back that my brothers would repent. But if we start talking about repenting, we're the bad guys, Brother Randy. We ain't talking about, there's times in my life I've just felt bad about something or other, and I'm okay for just a little bit, but I find myself just kind of swaying right back over in the area. But I'm going to tell you, there have been a few times in my life that I've repented. And whenever that repentance come and that turn the other direction and leave that stuff alone, get back in line with God, it made a difference. Not only in my life, but in my wife's life, in my children's life, and in the people's lives around me. You see, the world can't pray for theirself as far as praying for theirself. That's our job. God came to Cain. He said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" I'm going to sit here and tell you, yes, we are. We can't bring them in kicking and screaming, but we're still his keeper. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way I look at it. The world's my neighbor because they ain't my brethren. And I need to love them enough. You know what got me saved? Because I was afraid for myself. If I could ever get to the place where I'm afraid for them, I would want them to make a difference. But sometimes we live in this, I just like to see it world. I just wish it would happen. But we need to have that burden. We need to get back to being concerned. While we've got the opportunity of being concerned. Everybody that dies ain't going to go to heaven. I'm just going to tell you. And Brother Steve, the Lord ain't going to come and ask you for the roster here at Mountain View. Because what I did that day is I joined with y'all. What I did when I was 11 years old, I joined the church. And you know, when I joined the church that night, Brother Fonzo Cochran didn't write my name down. But God did. And from that time on, whenever we sang that song, said, "I've enlisted in a fight for the cause of truth and right," that's what I did. I didn't know exactly what I was getting into, but I know what I was getting out of. And I know a little bit more today because I've experienced a little bit more today than what I experienced that night. But I enlisted in a fight. Just like whenever I signed them papers on the dotted line when I joined the Army, I signed myself over to the United States of America and I did not belong to myself. We actually live our Christian life sometimes like we've really got a choice on how to do this. Now, we can choose how we do it, but really we ain't got a choice on how it's done. He did not go down there and ask, Jonah said, "Do you think we ought to go to Nineveh?" He didn't say, "I'm going to run it by you first, and if you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else to do it." He done already knowed how he wanted it done, and it was going to be done that way or else. The concern that we ought to have on a continual basis. And I'll reiterate again, the I, Bruce Orange, is in that we. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm just going to tell you. I used to step back there. I've heard confessions from Randy up here. I've heard confessions from Crafton up here. I've heard confessions from Earl Abernathy. And I've always told them, it makes me feel good as a younger man when I hear my elders confessing something or other. Well, I'm confessing tonight that I'm ashamed of myself for not being so concerned, except on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesdays. when the Lord comes by at 2 o'clock in the morning, it don't work when you say, well, I'll get up 15 minutes early. He's in there sitting at my table at 2 o'clock in the morning awaiting on me. I can still get up 15 minutes early. I can still go in there and read the word, but it ain't going to be the same. Because that's how he operates. And we need to be in a shape that he can operate through us. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't have to tell you, you know what, most of them is work or they go to school and they see everybody every day. People are living unconcerned lives. This rich man was unconcerned through his whole life. He fired sumptuously every day. He woke up and said, hey, I just got a little bit more today. But that moment, when he drawed his last breath, closed his eyes, and bam, he's in hell. The concern started to no avail. Because he can't get nothing through. Randy preached a message here one time about getting a message from the other side. Don't come here. I heard the man say this. He said, somebody asked him one time, he said, how can we really get ourselves to be really concerned? He said, just pray to the Lord that he'll let you just see hell just for a few minutes. He said, and you see if that don't change you. I know for sure, and you might say, well, you ain't got no right to judge, but I know for sure of three people that's in hell. I know there's a rich man there. I know Jezebel's there because the Bible said even God gave her space of time to repent, and she repenteth not. And I personally know a fella. His brother witnessed to him even a few days before he even passed away, trying to talk to him about the Lord. And he was all into computer stuff too at that time, but he looked his brother right in the eye and he said, I'll email you from hell to let you know what it's like. Well, if there's a computer down there, I guarantee you he's on it, typing away at it, trying to get a message over here. But he's got a tormented flame. I need to love people more with my concern. Sometimes my word's cheap. But hell's a real place. And somebody might get mad at me for saying this, but if my son don't get what he needs, he's going to go there. Why ain't I like that rich man? Why ain't I? We would talk about the elders crying out, coming here, going up, going everywhere, spending time with the Lord in agonizing prayer. Where's it at? Is that in hell too? It is, but to no avail. We can take a lesson from them. Because we still got time. And it ain't left up to nobody but us. There's things in hell that the church ought to be better at than what they are. Bible, and like I said, he said there's a gulf fixed. And he even said this, he said that they, you know, if heaven could see down there, they can't. They can't. They don't even know we're here. I'm just going to tell you, everybody who's watching, you can get mad at Mama ain't up there looking down on you. Because I'm going to tell you what, if my grandparents was up there and they was looking down, Brother Jeff, at me, they'd be heartached. They'd be saddened a lot of times. And that would not be heaven. Because I'm going to tell you, what went to heaven was not my grandparents anyway. that was a brother and a sister that had already received something other from God. The body that it inhabited is laid right out here. But he said, if they that are over there could you imagine, let's just imagine that you're in heaven and you see one of your loved ones, would you not want to go down there? You think if Lazarus could even see him, don't you think he would want to dip his finger in the water and just give him just a drop of water? But he said, even they can't come over. And he said, and basically you that are there can't cross it. Why can't I be concerned as much as I need to be? Maybe I'm like that rich man. Maybe I wake up every morning feeling okay. Everything basically going kind of my way. And maybe we're more like him than what we think. But we do got something that the rich man didn't have. And that's Jesus in our heart. I don't always listen to him. I'm ashamed of that. I'm glad that he does speak to me at times. I'm glad he does remind me of a few things. But I wonder sometimes, what's the matter with me? What's the matter with my concern? What's the matter with my burden bearing? My agonizing? Why won't I? Because we know better. We know what we was looking for. About every one of you has testified that was my last shot. When I came up, I felt like that was the end. That was going to be the last. I was going to be cut off. And I know we live in a world that's so unconcerned about matters. Matter of fact, most of them is in so bad a shape that they boast about what they are. And then they'll still look at you and say, I know Jesus, or I know God. Most of the time, let me rephrase it, most of the time it's, I know God. The Bible says the devil and his angels fear. But they know him and don't even fear is what I look at if they know him at all. One woman told me at one time, she said, I know God. And God spoke to me and he said, I don't want people just to know me. I want people to have a relationship with me. I mean, God was agonizing so much, he sent Jesus to suffer on the cross. Just to have a relationship with us. And I ain't worthy of that. But even he agonized through all them years. People sacrificing, trying to work, do this and do that. I know he laid out some of that plan, don't get me wrong. But he knows somewhere down the line it was what that part's going to have to come to an end. But even he wanted a relationship with us. I just tell you, I need help to do better than what I'm doing. You say, but you're here every Sunday most of the time. You're here on Wednesday nights. And I'm grateful for it. Just like I was talking to a fellow today, we was talking about church, and it started feeling good in there. I said, even if I come to here on Wednesday nights, and even if it feels as dry as it be, I said, even for an hour, I can sit there in peace and not worry about what's outside these. If nothing else. But that ought to just be the start of it. That ought to just be the start of it. I believe sometimes if I get more ready at home, I'd be more ready when I come in the door. But the concern that the rich man has, that's how bad we need to be concerned. And like I said, I'll say this and I'll sit down, and I'm just outright ashamed of myself. So I don't want you going away thinking that Bruce Owens is getting on anybody else. But we can't keep living the way that we're living. The allowance of things, the acceptance of things. I know people will say that they use verses. I have. I'm just honest with you. And I know what God meant when he told Samuel, don't look at just what's on the outside, but it's inside. I know what he meant. But I'm going to tell you, we can get that inside just a little bit mustered up a little bit, and it shows on the outside. And that is what the world sees. They don't see my heart. They don't see my soul. But they see the evidence of what I'm allowing on the inside. And whenever they look at that, and I'm pretty close to doing about what they're doing or involved with them, they don't got no reason, Brother Robert, to come and change. And I'll just say this, I am guilty of a lot of it. But if we want to get it better, just like you said right there in the back side of it, I've heard them say this, we have to eat this a lot before we. And I found myself repenting on a daily basis because you think, well, finally you got there. Well, I'm going to tell you, you never going to get there. That's why Paul said every day I had to die out, every day. But when you go home tonight, if you can't find nothing else to pray about, you pray for me. Because I need to have what that rich man in hell has.